Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have a very special guest. I'm happy to introduce Adrian Pinoza to the show. Adrian, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Suji, for having me. Great to be here. Let's get it on.
Awesome. Well, absolutely. So everyone, Adrian has completed 21 years of policing and he retired early as a result of the choices that he made in real estate investment. And he's now a full-time real estate investor and an entrepreneur of multiple companies. So really excited to hear all about all of this. I'd love to hear, Adrian, you give us a bit of a background as to, you know, your career in policing and why you decided to shift towards real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it all started about 11 years ago while I was on the police department. And I started my career, I guess, at that point in time, I had 10 years on the force. And I was starting to think of, you know, what am I going to do when I retire? And I wanted to build up, you know, I guess some extra income coming in, looking down the road for retirement so I could live the same lifestyle as I lived with a full salary on a full-time police officer salary. So I wanted to invest in something. And for me, real estate investing, I thought was a safe place to begin investing. So my mindset was, you know, if I can have one or two rental properties that produce cash flow, you know, when I retire after my 30 years, I could live that same kind of lifestyle and have the same income coming in because I have the pension plus a couple of rental properties that would produce income for me as well. So that was my mindset back then. 10 years on the force, decided to refinance my home, my principal residence. We didn't have any money in the bank, but we had equity in our home. So we pulled the equity out on a home equity line of credit and used that to start our investment career. So long story short, we bought, I think we started with a $200,000 line of credit. So we borrowed everything we had essentially to get started. And we bought our first three properties using that for the down payment, using that line of credit. And from there, things just kind of really snowballed and began to grow and grow and grow to something that I never really thought would happen. And ultimately, those choices that we made, we started to develop a reputation within our neck of the woods. And we started a joint venture and we started to partner with like-minded investors, which really, really, really scaled our portfolio quite aggressively through the power of joint venture partnerships. So after the first three properties we bought, we then started to partner with people, other investors, and use capital and their capital to buy more and more and more properties. So coming to the end of the rainbow, this really grew to something really big. And after 11 years of being in this field of real estate investing, we essentially grew from three properties to now owning 68 properties, which is about 368 units, 368 families that we are our tenants. And it was all doable just from taking that one leap of faith and leveraging everything we had and getting started, and then joint venture partnerships as well really skyrocketed. So instead of doing 30 years on the force, I was able to retire after 21 years and have financial stability to allow me to leave the police department early and continue. And then obviously, I then really focused full time on real estate investing and continued to grow the businesses. So now we also, obviously, we have the investment company. We now own a property management company that services all of our properties, as well as our own construction company that, again, services all of our renovations that we're doing on all of our buildings and whatnot that we're buying. So we have sister companies within our organization that work in unison and really built this, I like to call it like a Costco, where, you know, you come in that front door and we have everything under one roof as far as, you know, finding the right property to the construction, to the property management, and on, we're a one-stop shop. And it all started with, I want to own one or two properties and, you know, retire after 30 years and be okay with some cash flow, turned into 368 units 10 years later.
Yeah. And buying back 10 years of your life, right?
You know, everybody wants financial freedom, but what I also was interested in was time freedom, where, you know, time, because there's one thing you can never buy back in life, and that's time, right? Like time, every day, it's another day gone. You can always buy assets or whatever you want to buy, but you can never buy back time. So I wanted time freedom as well. And for me, real estate investing gave me that financial freedom, but more importantly for me was time freedom.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's a pretty incredible story. And I just love how it developed, you know, starting from a relatively humble, but yet still ambitious goal that required you to, you know, go out on a limb and, like you said, leverage everything you had in order to get started. And then it just continued to grow, like you kept at it. And, you know, there's so much I definitely am excited to for sure get into. So let's see. So I kind of want to see what happened, like once that $200,000 line of credit, you know, you're able to purchase three properties with that. So then how did you scale beyond that? I mean, was it immediately to a JV or did you do the BRRRR method or a combination?
We started a JV and started through the power of joint ventureship. We really focused and honed on the BRRRR strategy, the buy, renovate, refinance, rent, and repeat. And that allowed us and the investors to circulate and recirculate that capital through a bunch of different properties and acquisitions and projects that we were renovating and refinancing. And
just for the listeners who maybe haven't been familiarized with that term, JV, how did that work with you?
Yeah, so JV is obviously short form for joint venture. Fancy word for saying partnership. Essentially, we're going to, you know, get into business together and partner is all it is. And basically, the partner is considered the money partner. So they're bringing capital to the table. And then obviously, our contribution would be the expertise in fulfilling and the sweat equity to run the project, run the renovations, use our team, pick the right property, run the numbers, stay on budget, stay on track, and then obviously deliver a successful BRRRR at the end of the rainbow.
Okay, great. And so were you putting in any capital as well?
No.
Okay. So it was purely capital versus the sweat equity. Yeah, very cool. And then were you just splitting it 50-50?
Yes. So on the back end, on the exit, on the refi, we would be 50-50 partners on that acquisition. And our reputation supersedes ourselves with respect to our BRRRRs are coming out with infinite return on investment. Mm-hmm. And the way that's possible is obviously we're forcing that appreciation in the house so much that we're able to extract, you know, the down payment, the construction costs, the holding cost, the closing, like every single penny's coming out at the end of the day and going back to that investor, which essentially is, you know, if you have an asset and you have no money left in the deal and you're still cash flowing and you still have debt pay down from the tenants and on, the return is infinite because you don't have any money left in the project, so to speak. So again, rinse and repeating that capital through various projects. So you could, you know, we could have one partner that partnered with us four different projects because we money in, money out, on to the next.
Yeah.
Money in, money out, next project. And, right. And we became successful at that.
For sure. Yeah. I love that model so much because it really helps. It makes sense. Like it really helps you and the investing partner because, you know, well, first of all, you're in this partnership together and then they immediately are able to see, okay, well, and this is the BRRRR model that Adrian was referring to, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat, which if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably have heard. But essentially, you know, you first you buy a property, then you put some money into the rehab, and then you rent it out at probably a higher rate than you it was originally being rented for. And then at that point, that forces the appreciation. And so the property is now worth quite a bit more than it was when you purchased it. And then you can go to the bank, refinance, take your cash out. And as Adrian was saying, potentially even your construction costs and everything you put into the deal, but still own the property. And so then the deal is producing these infinite returns. So you're getting cash flow in it, even though you've taken all of your money out. And then that same investor has like, you've proven the model to them. And then they're like, oh, cool. Well, I want to go do this again. Right. And so you have this like sort of infinite partner as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Pretty much you nailed it, right? That's exactly how it works. And there's not too many investments out there, you know, in my opinion, that are can deliver that kind of return where, you know, your infinite 90, 100% infinite return. And at the end of the day, you still own that acquisition and you're still, we're still cash flowing. We're still having debt pay down, so on and so on. So, I mean, realistically, it's an incredible, like if you can master and you know your numbers well with respect to a BRRRR, it's a really, really great tool to utilize in investing in real estate.
Okay. Yeah. So I love that and want to hear more about, so you're obviously in Canada and can you tell us where it is that you're buying these properties and is your investor also kind of in a geographic location that's close to you?
We've worked actually with people from the States before mm-hmm. on different acquisitions. The majority of our investors do live in Canada, obviously, not necessarily at an arm's length away from us, all parts of Canada, but we're in the GTA, so Toronto and surrounding areas and surrounding cities of Toronto is where we're buying those acquisitions and performing the BRRRR on them.
Okay. And just a question for you. Have you noticed that it's been, you know, over the 11 years that you've been doing this, has it been harder to find deals, easier at some times? And how have you adapted to sort of any sort of changing circumstances?
So being in this network now for 11 years, we've built up quite a reputation. So we do have a lot of leads coming in from off-market sources. We really haven't struggled to find deals for the most part. Yeah, it's pretty fluid here in our neck of the woods. So we haven't struggled in that regard at all.
Well, that's nice. And these are what range of units? Single families to obviously multiplexes?
No, everything we're doing is multis. Okay. So it's all ranging all the way from a triplex to 50 unit apartment building and everything in between. Mm-hmm. But we typically don't invest in single fams or condos. For our neck of the woods, they don't really produce cash flow. You know, if you can pretty much just break even in investing in those guys here, that's pretty much the best you're going to get. But our investors are really interested in cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And for them and for you, can you just explain why cash flow is, you know, one of their priorities?
So if you have an asset, and again, back to the BRRRR and leading into cash flow, if you have an asset and you've managed to extract all your money and you're still cash flowing and you still have passive appreciation, it's incredible. So who wouldn't want to pay all their expenses on a rental property and at the end of every month have an extra $1,000? Who wouldn't want that?
For sure.
Like, it's amazing, right? Property's appreciating. The tenants are paying down your principal, your debt. And on top of that, you know, I'm using an easy number. You know, you're putting $1,000 a month in your pocket above and beyond all that. Like, it's, you're making money while you sleep, mm-hmm. essentially.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Definitely. Yes. I mean, I'm a big cash flow investor too. And so definitely love that. And I do have a question for you though. Is there a reason obviously there's different philosophies on whether to hold properties versus whether to sell them and, mm-hmm. Just turn over the capital faster with like a higher IRR. So what is your opinion on that? Like, why do you like to hold your properties rather than turn the capital and get that velocity of capital going even faster?
A couple of reasons. So we pay a lot of tax here in Canada. And obviously when you sell a property, you got to pay the tax man, your capital gains. When you refinance a property and you pull out that equity, it's tax-free, first off. So I personally don't like to give away my money and pay tax. And if I can burr a property and pull out all the equity and still own it and not pay any tax on the exit of the burr, why not? I mean,
yeah.
Never say never, but we're more, our company in my mindset is more long-term wealth, generational wealth by investing in real estate as opposed to a quick flip, quick flip, quick flip and pay the tax, pay tax, pay tax, which is nothing wrong. If that suits your goals, then great. For me, it's more long-term wealth, generational wealth. And like I said, you don't pay tax when you burr and you pull out your equity. It's tax-free.
Yeah.
So why not?
Totally. No, I think that's a very critical piece is that the cash out refi is pretty much the holy grail of real estate. And it's one of the things that makes it so powerful is that when you do just exactly what Adrian said, you pull out cash from your property, it's like you are getting tax-free money. I mean, yes, you're paying to borrow that money, but it's a huge chunk of money. And obviously the interest rate is going to be pretty low. So cash out refi is pretty much the holy grail of real estate. And it's very powerful. So thanks mm-hmm. for explaining that. I have a question for you, Adrian. So when you're talking to your investors or bringing someone new into your sphere, do people have hesitations and, how do you kind of, what is like sort of the process of like getting them bought into what it is that you're doing?
So a lot of the people we work with are looking to invest in real estate, but their lifestyle right now, whether they have small children and they're very active in sports or this or that, they don't have the time. They're entrepreneurs themselves and they're super entrenched in their career. They don't have the time. They don't have the knowledge. A lot of investors we work with they want to invest in real estate. It's their first rodeo. They're somewhat obviously anxious and nervous, but they know they want to invest in real estate. So they look to the professionals like ourselves to carry that burden and leverage that so they can still focus on their careers, focus on their families, so on and so on and so on, while we do everything from A to Z. In our track record, I mean, we've done so many burrs, so many successful burrs, probably north of 60 now, where, our reputation and track record and statistics speak for themselves. It's not like, we're a fly-by-night kind of organization where we just started. We've been in the game 11 years and people feel comfortable to trust us and our expertise in that regard.
Very, very cool. And what is it that makes these folks interested in investing in real estate in the first place? Like maybe they know they want to get into it, but why do they want to get into it?
They're in search, most often than not, they're in search of freedom as well. They're in search of time freedom like me, financial freedom. And obviously they're looking after their families. They're thinking long-term like, hey, when my two children, are older, I want to leave them something a lot more than just a small nest egg. They believe in real estate and they believe the freedom investing in real estate can give them and ultimately provide their families generations to come.
Yeah.
So they're in search of what we all are in search of. It's financial freedom and time freedom.
For sure.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but I just, I always like to ask sometimes some of these questions just to, because the similar themes kind of come out and people sometimes have a different perspective on it. So makes a lot of sense. And what would you say, some of the difficulties or challenges that you've faced have been? Like, cause I mean, it's been 11 years, obviously you're very experienced now and know how to do this, but in the beginning, what were some of the challenges that you faced or that you face today?
Not so many today. Some of the challenges we faced when we first got started is picking the right contractors to do the work on our BRRRR projects and on those renovations. And I lost money hiring wrong contractors, fly-by-night kind of guys. And I leveraged Kijiji to find these kinds of people. And even though I thought I did enough homework, obviously not. And, you know, probably two or three projects early on in my career, I lost money and it stung. But, you know, that saying, you know, if you fail forward. Don't look back and keep pushing forward. Those were some of the biggest challenges I had. I always was a numbers guy. So, you know, the numbers came easy to me, but obviously having reputable people in my corner was a challenge for sure. We circumvented that now. And like I said, we have our own construction company that we have people that work specifically for ourselves and our projects. So it's peace of mind for me and the investor that, hey, we're not going on Kijiji hiring fly-by-night, you know, kind of guys that are going to take the money and run, sort of speak. Those were predominantly, I mean, knock on wood, I've been very lucky and not had any major disasters. But overall, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, very important role. And now you have your own construction company, right? So you're able to have a lot more control over that process. So just curious if you can share what you can share about how, you know, how you handled the wake of losing money. I mean, we all lose money in real estate at times, right? It's not, that's part mm-hmm. of developing. But how did you handle that?
I sucked it up and moved on, really. You know, I'm not talking large amounts of money, maybe like 30, 40,000.
Yeah.
Which is still a decent amount of money, obviously. But, you know, we learn from our mistakes. And again, like I said, we fell forward. We learned from our mistakes. Never made the same mistake twice, that's for sure. And in my opinion, you know, if you're making mistakes, it means you're growing and you're learning, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. And if you're learning and growing, that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're just going to get better and better and roll with it and keep pushing and get better. And that's basically what we did. We got better and we learned from our mistakes.
For sure. Yeah, I love that saying, either you win or you fail. Or no, that's not it. It's you win or you learn. That's what it is. You, instead of winning or failing, it's you win or you learn. Because, you know, just like getting rid of failure from your vocabulary is just so important when you're trying to continue to push yourself to grow. So were you JVing at the time or was that just when it was just you?
No, that was just with me and getting started. And it was probably one of my first BRRRRs that we didn't JV. We just did it on our own. And pretty much, yeah, thank God it was just because that obviously tarnishes a reputation pretty quick. But we ironed out all those kinks, like I said, and now having our own company, we've been able to definitely put that to bed.
Well, one of my early learnings where I lost some money was just getting into a sticky tenant landlord situation. And that was a good learning because basically I let my emotions kind of get the better of me. And I was the person who had more to lose in that situation. And so that taught me, you know, that definitely taught me how to choose my, you know, just how to conduct myself in a way that like was commensurate with the risk that I was taking and the property that I owned. So yeah, very cool.
Right.
Okay. So what are you most excited about looking at the next year, 5 years, 10 years?
I'm always excited about the next deal, to be honest with you. Like we just did a deal Tuesday. We just did a deal Sunday night. And I just get a rush from I'm still doing deals. I'm still working joint ventures and whatnot. And now I'm already like it was just 48 hours ago we did a deal and I'm already excited to, okay, where's the next deal? What's the next one coming in? It's not like work, you know, it's easy for me. Real estate investing isn't hard work. It's not like you're out there with a shovel, you know, breaking your back, so to speak. It's pretty easy work and obviously can be lucrative as well. But where do I see the next 5 years? Hey, you know what? We're at 368. I think if I can hit 500 just as a personal goal, not that it would mean anything, but it's great to set goals for yourself, I think. If I could hit 500 units, I think that would be it for me. I think I would then, I don't think I'd say, well, then I want another 500. I think if I hit 500, I'd be happy. And I guess maybe actually officially retire. Like I retired from the police, but now I'm working still. So maybe, you know, another 2-3 years goal to hit 500 doors and then sail off to the sunset and start enjoying, you know, life down in the Caribbean, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Very cool. I mean, I think that's so important. I love that you have kind of a enough is enough type mindset, because it's, I think as an entrepreneur, you know, you kind of get like, I mean, I certainly get addicted to the growth, and it becomes, you know, the next level. What's next? What's next? And I mean, there's something great about that. Growth and contribution are such an important part of, you know, living a fulfilled life. But also, you know, in terms of wealth, like when is enough really enough, right? I mean, so I think it's just really awesome that you have, you know, something in mind with that regard.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Adrian, for coming on the show and sharing all about, you know, your story and how you transitioned and just really stuck with it, and how kind of just a idea of having a couple rental properties changed into, grew into you being able to leave your career, retire early, and continue to grow your wealth and help other people do the same. So thanks so much for sharing your story. Please now share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah. So if you want to check us out, we're all over social media. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Executive Properties Capital, or just put in my name, Adrian Pannozzo, P-A-N-N-O-Z-Z-O. Our website's www.investwithepc.com. Shoot me an email, Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at investwithepc.com. And yeah, the chat.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks for sharing those resources and ways to get in touch with you. I certainly hope you listeners get in touch with Adrian and check out what he's got going on. Thanks so much, Adrian, for coming on the show. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.